God lets us know something. I have already taken care of it. You and I cry out to God so often, Lord, will you take care of this? There is nothing, nothing that is in existence today. There is no law. There is no assemblies that are in existence today that God has not already taken care of the situation. So what's the problem? The problem is His children. My problem's not the world. My problem's me. Oh, if the world would change, think of how great it would be. Larry, how about you getting in gear and you changing? Well, I'd much rather make Brother Randy change. That wouldn't let him suffer with his change. Change is hard, isn't it? The truth, when it hits us straight in our spirit, that truth leaves us in shock so long. When we're looking at our children as they grow, we're looking at siblings, we're looking at family members, close friends. So often we will say, what's it going to take for that boy or that girl to ever change? What's it going to take for their heart to feel the fire of the power and the great love of Almighty God? What's it going to take? And then we read all the books, go to all the different people, go to our psychologists, psychiatrists, whatever we go to, and say, look, I'm looking for an answer. Or those selling you the book say, I have the answer. Those freely giving you the answer is Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God says, I'm not going to charge you anything for it. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to read. Larry, you don't even have to know how to spell Jesus to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. It's not in human knowledge. And human knowledge does not equate to spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is of God. And God said, I give it to you freely. I offer to you the greatest of all, my love. And I give you my love while you're still lost. Before you recognize who I am in your heart, I loved you. Larry, you couldn't love me unless I loved you first. There's no way in the world, Larry, that you would be able to look at me and say, I love you, Lord. And even to this day, when I say, God, I love you, I cannot even come close to the love He has for me. Lord, I'm trying. And one of my professors, several of them did with me, but they would say, Brother Vance, to try is to fail. And for those of you who thought Yoda said that in Star Wars, no, it was in the scripture first. I'm not going to try God. God loves me. God says, listen to me. I know you're messed up. Well, Lord, just as soon as I get my act cleaned up, I'm going to start coming and going to your church. I'm going to start loving you. Well, you might as well hang that one up because you are not going to get your act cleaned up. It's not your act that's the problem. It's the lack of trusting Almighty God to set our soul afire. Well, how do I do that? What's it going to take? Who's it going to take? First of all, we need to know something. The who and the what it's going to take is already here. You know, Somebody's got to get a hold of that boy and straighten him out. He's already here. His name is Jesus. And Jesus says, I love you. And I want you to be with me. Therefore, Larry, trust me. Lord, that is, now I believe in you, Lord, and I can use that trust word. But you know, I'm still a little nervous. Well, you haven't seen anything yet. You wait till you stand up in the middle of the world and God has called you to teach and to preach and proclaim His truth. And people are saying, what's it going to take? The who and what is already here. The what, you know it as the Old Testament, the prophets. The what was prophecy. The Lord said, I'm sending my prophet. I'm sending my word. Hear ye them. That's the old English part of me. Hear ye them. Jesus. And here's, let's get this straight. When people talk about the parables and all of Jesus, and they say, well, Jesus tells this story, so it's not really a real story. Can you think that way? If Jesus tells it, it's real. When Jesus said, well, I don't see it anywhere else in history. I don't see in history where Jesus mentioned my name in heaven before time began. Prophets spoke of God's ultimate reach. Did he not? Did God not speak to them and say, I want you to stand, and here's what I want you to say. Thus saith the Lord, prophet, don't you get out of line. Don't you start getting cocky thinking that you know it. Or you're going to find yourself on the wrong end of that donkey talking to you because you don't know what you've don't know who you've gone against. Don't you change my word just to make somebody feel good. The prophets were given by God, and God said, pay attention to them, for they are pointing to the one to come. They're pointing to your salvation. All the prophets focused on the coming Messiah, Christ, our Lord. Jesus, they said, is coming. And when he comes, he is going to make a new covenant, and it's going to be signed in his blood. And he's not going to mess with religion. He's going to deal with relationships to the heart of his creation. He doesn't care how I dress. He does not care about what I think of myself or you think of yourself. He just loves me. Do you ever get up and look yourself in the mirror and notice that reflection, not only are you not in love with that reflection, so often that reflection makes you sick to look at them. And then you wonder why other people have said, you know, you make me sick every time I see your face. We do that to ourselves, folks. Lord, I know you gave me a calling. I know you've called me to do this. And Lord, I went so far, but you know, Lord, I just didn't feel qualified. Folks, I have never felt qualified. I never will. If I ever did, wouldn't that mean then I would depend on my own knowledge? I don't go very far. The Lord said, okay, let me lay this out for you. Let's look at it. Luke 16, verses 27 through 29. Pay close attention to it. Everything that I'm getting ready to quote you is Jesus' words. It's what Jesus says. So, he answered. Jesus was always confronted by the Sadducees, which are the religious group that did not believe in the resurrection, and the Pharisees that had such power They believed in the resurrection, but they would never allow neither. The Sadducees and Pharisees would not listen to the Holy Spirit of God. They became a political party of the day. We see enough of that, don't we? He answered. And I'm going to tell you the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was the beggar that sat at the rich man's table. Got that? Remember it? Well, Jesus is telling this event. And as he is telling the event, he's wanting the religious leaders out there to pay attention. Because, for one thing, they didn't believe, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So Jesus is telling them this. Lazarus died, the scripture says, and was carried to the bosom, into heaven of Abraham, the father of the nation, who was in the presence with the Lord. We got this? And then it says, the rich man dies and lifts up his eyes, being in hell, torment. Big difference. Lazarus believed. Yet in his belief, he could not even get a crumb from those who didn't believe. A beggar that the rich man would not even give a scrap to. And here he was, carried in to the presence of God by God's angels. Here's what Jesus, when he was talking to the rich man, he had said, no, it's not going to happen, for you cannot come to us, nor even if someone wanted to go to you, they cannot, for there is a great gulf fixed. Then the rich man said, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. People, nobody in hell wants anybody coming there. Nobody in hell wants another. I don't care how vile that individual in hell is. They do not want anyone to come there. Send Lazarus to my father's house. You mean that beggar at the foot of your table and the dogs came and licked on him and you wouldn't give him a crumb? Is that the one you want me to send? Think of it. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, now listen, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. They have Moses and the prophets. The what has already been given. The prophecy is already there. The Old Testament spoke of the one to come. He is here already. He was here. He left, ascended to heaven. And the exciting, most exciting part of your whole existence is he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back as a reigning king, not a servant, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he knows my name. Does he know yours? Have you given it to him? Have you said, Lord, I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life? Oh, I love that Jesus knows my name, because the way it's going and the older I get, the more I realize the time could be coming when I can't even remember my name. You know what I mean? Jesus does. So he says, let them hear the prophets. The who? He's already here. Let me read that. Luke 2, verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah, the Deliverer. He is the Son of God. He has been born. You and I have been blessed to be able to be born in the generation of the New Testament. That's why we call ourselves New Testament Christians. Because the Old Testament spoke of the one to come, and Jesus came. And you will read throughout God's Word, and Jesus did this to fulfill the scripture that was written about him from the prophets. Got it? He's here! So what's the prophecy? The fulfillment of the prophecy is here. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, whoever so will, let him come. I love you. Won't you come? Won't you come? So I can express to you my ultimate love. The ultimate love that I give you is not the kind of love that will ever stop. The love I give you is the same love for which I love my Son. And Jesus says, when you accept me, then I call you brother and sister. Do you realize that the Lord says that he loves you and me as much as he does his own son? That's a lot of love, isn't it? He don't just love me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. And am I so thankful? Because pay attention to your life. Be careful, though, when you're counting up how much wrong compared to how much right. Let me give you this tidbit. You may have truly done less wrong than you think. And you might not have done as much right as you think. What's the key? The key from the beginning of time, from the Garden of Eden, was to listen. God says, okay, Adam, Eve, pay attention. I'm talking to you. You can take of anything in the garden except from that one tree. Everything else is yours. Even the tree of life is yours. Eat of any of it. And he said, pay attention. What happened? They had to taste from the tree. The only one in existence they were told not to. Possibly that's where they say that Adam and Eve were Baptists. Always wanting to do it opposite of what God says do. I got a better way. You can't have a better way because the way has already come. His name is Jesus. And if you think you have a better way, how come you're still in a mess in your own life? How come you can no longer find the peace that you look for? Lord, why do you not give me the peace I begged you for? I have. Why don't you listen? Larry, listen. Let me tell you something. Here's the answer. It's number 3. Luke 16, verses 30 and 31. This is the rich man still arguing. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Do we not understand that these factual truths from Jesus' parables, these factual truths from his word, is to let us know the only hope of society, the peace, the love? You say, I'm looking for the right love. Well, frankly, maybe the country music world has a point. Maybe you're looking for it in all the wrong places. The right love is right in front of your heart. The purpose for your life is in the word that Christ gives you. Don't you dare pay attention to what a preacher or anybody else tries to convince you to do. If I attempt to convince you to do something, somebody will come along and convince you not to. I'm talking about the Son of Almighty God. I'm talking about the Word of Almighty God. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When he went to that cross, he called my name. Woo! It didn't matter. He said, I love you, Larry. How could he love us so much, Brother Randy? And we say, yes, I come to you. And the world then think that they can take that love away. Ain't going to happen. Somebody going to pull your grandchild away from you? Your own child? They're going to take that child out of your arms and you're just going to sit there and go, okay, I don't want any trouble. You mess with my family, you got trouble. You mess with the family of God, the father of the family of God says to us, they got trouble. Jesus said, I love you. With this great love, what's it going to take? Because you see, what it takes has already come to pass. The who is already here. The who coming back never left. He refused to go on and ascend to heaven until he poured his spirit into the heart of his followers. On that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God filled the heart of those who would say, I believe. It is God's power that will bring us the peace. And it doesn't cost you a dime. It's there. Oh, you mean salvation's free. It is to you. But read the book and you'll find out what it cost Jesus. You want to know what true love's all about? Read the book of love. The love letter God has sent to his creation. It's called the Bible. Still number one bestseller so far. But why do they buy it? Does it look nice on a coffee table? Do people even have coffee tables anymore? The big Bible sitting in the middle of the house, perfect shape, little dust all over it. Not a page torn, because not a page read. Oh, it's got all the information about my family tree. Is Jesus a part of your family tree? Did you write his name in there as to when your family members accepted him as Lord and Savior of their life? Or have you only stuck with what's closest to you? Jesus did not call me. He did not call me to focus on religion. And gosh, folks, any of you that know me know that he didn't call me for that. Because religion destroys. Every war that I ever read about, each war deals with, well, God, it is the will of God that I kill you. Gosh, I keep looking through that. I thought the will of God was to love. I thought the will of God was to accept. And I thought the will of God and the word of God was to be so powerful within those whom God has called to preach. Don't you ever try to get educated into preaching. It's a call. Then get your education. But pay attention to that word. Because in that call, he's got your name. Your name. The closest thing that you will hold dear to your life, other than your relationship with Jesus, will be your name. What does it mean to those around your name? Well, I got news for you, folks. When I stand before God Almighty, and I will, If it is asked, what'd you do to get here? I would say nothing. What's your plea? I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I will have been shined up, polished by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, that's at the judgment seat of Christ. And at that time, he'll present me. Jesus knows my name. He knows yours too. But what he simply asks is this. When you accept me, you're telling me that you know my name. That's the name that truly matters. Let's pray. Father, it is through your power, through your holiness, nothing of man, that we can witness such love. Oh, Father, sending your Son for those who continue to throw his name around and step in the blood he shed, I ask you, Father, to forgive for each of us, dear Heavenly God. I pray that you forgive our foolishness. Help us to turn our heart solely on what you've called each of us to do, and that we be about your business. Touch each heart. Touch each mind, each body, with your healing and love for the grace for your children. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.